Father, we give you the praise tonight. We give you the honor and the adoration. We thank you for a day like this. We ask, Lord, that you'll breathe upon your word. We ask that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. Father, do with us what only you can do. Thank you because you are good, you are true, and you are real. Thank you for making yourself real in our lives. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a louder amen. Loud most amen. Wave your hands and give him the praise. And before you sit down, welcome somebody to your side. You are welcome to God's presence. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone here tonight again to this service of power. And we trust God that we will experience power tonight in Jesus' name. Tonight I'm speaking very, very sharply on the subject, the necessity of the power of God. The necessity of the power of God. Why is it necessary? To walk in power. That is our objective tonight. Understanding why it is necessary to walk in power. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 to verse 6. The Bible says, then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. He rent it as he would have rent a kid. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, which means it was power that came upon him. According to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want to start by saying tonight that the power of God is not for show. The power of God is not for fun. The power of God is not for fancy. It's not for show. It's not for fun. It's not for fancy. The power of God is a critical necessity for life, for the life of the child of God. Critical necessity. As a matter of fact, the power of God can be a survival tool for the child of God. Very critical. And we are going to look at five reasons why the power of God is necessary. When I talk about the power of God, I'm combining it with spiritual strength. Number one, the power of God, in brackets spiritual strength, is needed for the handling of the urgencies and unforeseeables of life. It is needed to handle the urgencies, the emergencies, the unforeseeables of life. It is important to note that the warfares of life don't serve people notice. We just read, and Samson went down to Timnath, and there roared at him a lion. He did not plan to meet a lion. He did not bargain for a lion. He was just moving, and a lion roared at him. I believe that was what Paul the Apostle had in mind in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, where he said, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. I am equal to every urgency. I am equal to every emergency. I am equal to every eventuality. I am equal to every unforeseeable. I don't need to go and fast and come. I fasted before I came. I don't need to go and pray before I come. I prayed before I came. I don't need to go and look for power before I come. I am here with the power that is necessary to handle this matter now. That is, if you don't want to end as a victim, if you don't want to end as a casualty, the power of God is a critical necessity to handle the unforeseeables, the urgencies, the emergencies of life, where you will be faced with certain things where no brother or sister is found, where no prayer partner is found, where there is nobody to hold hands with you for prayer of agreement, where you need to rise to the occasion. It's needed. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 10, it said, be strong in the Lord and in the power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, for we wrestle, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Fact is, We wrestle. Just that it is not against flesh and blood. We need power to handle the unforeseeables. I was in the plane one day, and all of a sudden, I felt an arrow inside the plane. This would be like 15 years ago. On the way to go for administration. I can't describe it for you. Right there. Back to hell where you came. And that arrow was fenced back to hell. As a medical doctor who has some understanding of signs and symptoms, I can say that if it was a normal person who just, it would be something else. Maybe he would be on the hospital bed with half of the body not working. And maybe after that, he just proceeds to the next level. God forbid. I'm talking about the devil, not, do you understand what I'm saying? That battle was fenced back to hell. Fenced back to hell. I heard the story of Archbishop Benson Dahosa, where he was about to take a flight, or he entered a flight, and then there was a lot of turbulence in the air. Ba 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 ba. A bishop told the story about another bishop who was with him on that flight. And they had to do a forced landing. I think it was in Enugu. Just forced the plane to land. And after he stood for a while, he told the pilot, you know what? Let's go back into the air. So you know what? If I don't overcome this now, I may not be able to fly another time comfortably. He went back, overcame it, and landed safely at his destination. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The battles of life, they don't serve you notice. So we need power to handle urgencies and emergencies. Personal urgencies. I told you the other time where an arrow, I felt that I was speaking in tongues. Shagabagalarahasi. Kitekeke poporatasadish. And my children and wife ran to the living room. Again, another 15 or 20 years ago. When Metama at that time. They ran. Daddy, daddy, what is happening? I say, I'm fighting. Really? Yes. Because I felt an arrow. It flew. You know, some people run into arrows and they drop. Only them and God and the devil knew what happened. Because they are not alive to tell the story. Just drop. I retrieved it, fenced it back to hell. I don't know how many people have died on our account, but there are plenty. Especially those who dare what we carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I decree today in the name of Jesus, you shall not be a casualty of strange arrows. That amen can be better. You shall not be a casualty of stray arrows. You shall not be a casualty of stray arrows. Shout the loudest, amen. Let's take your seat. Why do we need power? The necessity of spiritual power. Number two, spiritual power and strength. Or spiritual power. Power, which is spiritual strength as well, is needed for the rescue of loved ones. The purpose of rescuing loved ones is needed for the rescue of loved ones. Samson's parents were with him. Judges 14. And in verse 15. 14, 5 to 6. His parents were with him. As he rescued them, the lion came to attack him and attack his mother and father. He rescued them, dealt with the lion, and sent the lion back to an early grave. Somebody say aloud, amen. When you are bankrupt of power, you look helplessly while loved ones suffer hopelessly. Did you hear what I just said? When you are bankrupt of power, you just watch helplessly as loved ones suffer hopelessly. The power of God makes you a sort of a hope, the sort of an answer to your family. Answer for loved ones. Answer for your generation. And every time I remember this, I remember 500 level medical school. My classmate in 500 level was, I went to his room and he was bowed over, writhing in pain. And I said to him, what's going on? Says, ulcer. Peptic ulcer, you are taking all the anti-ulcer drugs, they were not working. Maybe what was left now was a vagotomy surgery. He was writhing down in pain. Can't forget him, I can't forget his name. I laid hands on him. And I commanded that devil to check out. Anointed him with a bowl of oil. Say, if any sick, is any sick among you, call the elders of the church. Having anointed him, he jumped up. He's gone. Really? Yes. Pain died on the spot. From that year till 6 years till housemanship till youth service till everything, it disappeared for as long as I knew. I came and I saw the devil afflicting him. Conquer that devil. You need power, not just for yourself, but for the sake of the rescue of loved ones. You don't have to be a pastor. I wasn't a pastor then. One of our children had fever. My wife had done everything she could, administered all that she could. And the child was not bettered. And she was fretting and agitated. Almost sleepless. I went and carried the baby from her. And I said, you go and sleep. Go and rest. I'm sure there are men who will do that, right?
and not tell the baby to go and meet your mother. I carried the baby, I placed that baby on my chest, and the baby could fit into my chest. And I left her to go and rest. I was with the baby for 3 hours. It was fire against fever. Hey! Hey! You see, I'm not telling you theory. I'm not telling you theory. The best communication of principles is examples. By the time 3 hours expired, mother, take your baby. The fire swallowed the fever. It licked up the fever. Handed her over. We need power for the rescue of loved ones. I told you the story of my cousin, my senior sister's son. I was 8 hours, 8 days. It was in January fasting. And I was on day number 8. Day number 8 was without food completely, only water. That day, that particular year, and many years, and I will not tell you how many years. Right? And here was I. And this boy, a banker, went into the bathroom in the morning, and nobody heard of him anymore until the evening. They were looking for him. He was not at work. He was not anywhere. They came to his bathroom, opened the door only to see him in the bathtub since morning. Literally gone. Pulse, either faint or not, whatever. Literally gone. They called his name, nothing. They hit him, nothing. They rushed him to the hospital. My brother was already there. I arrived. Trepidatious, feeble a bit. Where is he? They showed me where he was. I tapped him, nothing. I placed sternal pressure, maximum pressure on the sternum to confirm if he will feel anything, nothing. So Glasgow coma scale is 0 or something. That is, if he was alive, he was in the depth of coma. That is, if you cut him with knife, he wouldn't know. I looked, I said, what is this? Richard! Answer me. He says, sir. I said, pray this prayer with me. He prayed the prayer with me, surrendering his life, asking for forgiveness of sins and so on, and then slumped back into unconsciousness. I was okay. I knew the deed was done. He had an arteriovenous malformation or something in the brain. The doctor's neurosurgeon opened the brain. Yes. Long story made short, came up alive. He's living till today. Living in the UK now with his family. This may be like 50 years ago. Nobody knows where that journey was going. Even for him to be found from the bathtub, he could have drowned already inside the bathtub water. For him to be found and pulled back from there alive. He was responsive to nothing until that shout of power arrived and he was pulled. There are many people whose sustenance will be dependent on our move in power. I speak to somebody here today in the name that is above every name. Your family, your loved ones, your brother, your sister, they shall be rescued by the power of God. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. You believe that? Shout the Lord most amen.
One of us in this church, excuse me, sir, there is lump. Just suddenly, painful lump. When I heard it, I knew already what the devil wanted to do. Hands were laid on the head with fire. Dry and die now. That one on the spot, it disappeared. And then in the dream of the night, I think someone came and said,
Give the Lord a praise because your pastor just delivered you from breast cancer. Breast, what you were delivered from was not lump. It was not just pain. They sent cancer. And it just, God used him to just cancel it. Whatever they sent your way from the pit of hell, tonight it is canceled. I said it is canceled. I said it is canceled. I said it is canceled. See, my wife herself was on the way from Europe sometime and had a health attack on the road, right? Yeah. I wasn't there. Nobody was there. It had to be you and God and resident unction and grace. I stepped out. We live in a world. You see, one thing that we must give the devil credit for is that he never rests. He said, to and fro. Where are you coming from? To and fro. To and fro. What's your address? Nowhere. To and fro. From Job to Job. Job from Job back to Job. From Job again. That is, you defeated him yesterday. He will try a bit today. When you defeat him actively, he will go and behave as if he forgot. But I am telling somebody here, if transient amnesia, I am saying to someone here today, no matter how many times the devil come your way, he will go back in defeat 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times. You believe me, shout the Lord and say, amen. Lift your right and say, I receive power. I must walk in power. Not for luxury, but for necessity. Power belongs to me. Not just to pastors. I am a child of God. And power belongs to me. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Give the Lord the praise. Spiritual strength. Necessary. In order to handle. Number three, why do we need power? Power is necessary. Power, bracket, spiritual strength is necessary to handle satanic lawlessness and recklessness, satanic drunkenness, to handle satanic lawlessness and recklessness in our generation. Lawlessness. The devil behaves like a lawless man. He behaves like a reckless man. He handles such lawlessness and recklessness. We handle it by power. In Mark chapter 5 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 6, we saw the story of Jesus coming over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And immediately they met him, a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. This man has been dwelling among tombs. No man could bind him, not with chains. That is, he was restless, he was lawless, he was reckless. Because as often as they bound him with fetters and chains, the chains will be plucked asunder. That is, chains, he will pluck it. He will tear it like paper. No man, he was untamable. You can't tell him, sit down. He was reckless, he was lawless. And always night and day, he was in the tombs, in the mountains and tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones, tormented by that tormenting devil. But when he saw Jesus afar off, nobody advised him. Jesus had not said a word. He saw power coming. He ran and laid down. Ola, ola. He ran and worshipped him and cried aloud with a loud voice
and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. To handle satanic restlessness and lawlessness and recklessness. We live in a world where the devil is so restless and so reckless and so lawless. To handle such recklessness, such lawlessness. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. That one describes how terrible the man was. Okay, this one, there were two of them. When he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, they had met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man can pass that way. That is, they condemned the whole road. The highway was unpassable, not because of potholes, but because of pot devils. Unpassable. You pass there at your detriment. By the time you reach home, they may not recognize you. It's as if you come back home alive. That is, madmen condemn the road. I pass here, no way. But what happened? When they saw landlord coming, when they saw owner of the universe coming, can you continue the reading? And they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come to torment us before the time? Do you hear what I'm saying? Many of us, we have homes, we have families, we have territories where the devil is performing some lawlessness, where he's behaving as if he is permanently drunk, where he's behaving as if he cannot be advised. It takes the power to check that lawlessness. It takes power to arrest that recklessness. Am I communicating at all? It was Lester Sumrall in the land of the Philippines. When he arrived, the country was under fire because of one mad girl in the Bilibid prison of the Philippines. The madness was so terrible that they had to take her to the prison. Mad person to the prison, locked inside the jail. Because no hospital, nothing. It was newspaper headline continuously in the newspaper until that man arrived. They said, this is the kind of case. I want to see the person. They took him to the prison. He said they should lock him inside the prison with the girl, with the mad person, and go with it and go. Rugged man, Smith Wigglesworth lay hands on him. By the time he stayed in that prison, long story made short, when the devil looked into his eyes, the devil knew that this was another kind of person. That devil checked out without qualms. It made headline again. That a missionary apostle arrive into the land and restore order to the land. I announce today, anywhere where the enemy is operating like a drunkard, lawless, in the name of Jesus, after tonight, by your presence and by your arrival, that devil shall be shown the road back to hell. Someone say a loud amen. Are you getting something at all? You arrive, they say there is a witch tormenting the whole family, a wizard tormenting the whole family, an occultic person boasting with his power. You arrive and you say they don't know who you are. You're about to show them who you are, whose son you are. And that's what I'm going to go back later on. Take your seat. I'm sure you heard this, the proverb that no matter how sleepy the dog is, he cannot mistakenly lie on lion's bed. Eh? That is by mistake. They say this is the bed of lion. He says sleep, worry him, he slept there. Where will he wake up? No matter how sleepy, no matter how drowsy, there is bed of lion. You don't fall asleep near there. Sleep cannot catch you there. Even if you say you are dreaming and you slept on lion's bed, it's a bad dream. Because if a lion ate you in the dream, you die on it. It's a very, very bad dream. Hallelujah. But power is real. You know, the kind of mad people with twisted hair, you know them? Madness that has matured for years. I've seen those, about five of them. Terminus Market in Jos. If you know Equa Good News Church by Terminus Market, there's a market there by the side, opposite Rex Cinema side. Well, I was coming there one day, and this madman with twisted hair saw me coming, and he came straight in front of me, went on his knees, and lifted his hand. I was not looking for him. Happened again in Saminaka Market. Anybody know Saminaka? That is on your way from Jos to Zaria. Saminaka is one of the places you pass. We entered the motor park there, drove my wife and myself. And then, again, another one, on his knees, lifted his hands. Abaji, another one. Pambegua, another one. Then another one that happened in Okene Town. I wasn't in the car. My driver went to buy fuel at the filling station. The madman went and knelt in front of the car. In other words, I may not see anybody in this car, but I feel a presence. I feel something. There is an aura. Do you understand? I'm telling you what I know. I prophesy today, after tonight, when the devil sees you, when the restless agents of the devil and powers of darkness see you, they will not only recognize who you are and what you carry, but they will bow with their powers. They will bow with their powers. They will bow with their powers. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. I announce to you today, from this moment forward, go forth and begin to check satanic lawlessness, satanic restlessness. Go forth and begin to check it in the name of Jesus.
I like how military people operate. Say, I've come to move you. Move, or I move you. You may be begging. Normal people may be begging people, but not when a real military person arrives that is fully trained and fully loaded. Why are you people laughing? It looks like there's something you are laughing about. Allah, 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 Allah. We trust the Lord that this nation will walk and come to the days when things are things, and it will walk. And we are not very far from those days. Where things will walk as they should walk. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loud most amen. Hallelujah. Take your seat. Power is needed. Power is necessary. Number four. It's necessary. You remember Simon the sorcerer, how he delivered Samaria? Rather, how Philip the deacon delivered Samaria from the impact of Simon the sorcerer, because he went with power. That man was in charge of Samaria until Philip arrived and checked him out. That is your assignment. Number four, power is necessary for the confirmation and authentication of our sonship in God. For the confirmation and authentication of our sonship in God. We need power, we need spiritual strength for the confirmation, for the authentication of our sonship in God. We are sons of God. In John chapter 1 and in verse 12, he said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power
to become the sons of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received him. If you are the son of God, you have power. And if you don't have power, and you claim to be a son of God, it's an abomination of sonship. It's an abuse of identification. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4, Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4, it said Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. So we have to confirm to the devil and to the people of the world, the sons of whom we are, the children of whom we are. We have to confirm to the world. We have to confirm to the devil. We have to confirm. One pastor called me from the southern part of this country. And he said, a demon met him physically. And he said, look at you people wasting your time. Wasting your time serving God. Say you're wasting your time. You're not going to achieve anything. He said, we are winning. Yes. And he said, as for you, I will deal with you. See, I know everything about you. So he shook. He shook. So he called me. I said, tell him that in the name of the Jesus who defeated all of them 2,000 years ago, and he hasn't changed his mind, in that name, I maintain that defeat. He hasn't changed his mind from the defeat of Calvary. He said, I am standing. You know, how does somebody say, I stand on existing protocol? I am standing on the premises of that defeat that you and Lucifer, your father, suffered and could not wriggle out. I stand there and I declare you remain defeated. I am in charge. They showed face again. He made the decrees and they evaporated. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Never let any devil see your tears. And never let any devil see your sweat. Show them the son of whom you are. Mahashatokolabagadagalagayada. I prophesy to you today. If indeed Jesus Christ is your senior brother, and he defeated Satan, the devil, on the cross of Calvary, I decree, receive the power to keep the devil in the defeated position. Receive that power in the name of Jesus. Receive the power in the name of Jesus. Receive the power in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that. Please take your seat. The lion does not rule by size. The elephant is bigger. But the lion rules by sense. He tells himself, I am in charge here. And you need your sense to rule. You need mentality. That's right. That's right. To take charge. You need your mentality to take charge. You need to know who you are, what God has made you, in order to be in charge all the time. The just does not live by their dreams. The just lives by their faith. So you dreamt a dream, or somebody dreamt a dream on your behalf. There are people who are shaking because somebody said they dreamt that they saw themselves or saw the devil dead in the basket, and they are celebrating and they saw obituary and they came to you and you are shaking. You are shaking about what somebody saw for you that you didn't see for yourself. Finally, we need power for the recovery of all that the enemy stole. Everything the devil took from your life
or took from your lineage. Even the things you were not aware of. You need the power to get them back. All that the devil took from you. All that the devil took from your lineage. 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 37. The Bible said, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. He said, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He went after the lion by spiritual power and strength to pull out what the enemy took. If you don't have power, the enemy will be busy taking things from you. And you will be watching. Listen. I am not just talking about you taking back what the devil took from you. I am talking about you taking back what he took from your family. Yes. What he took from your lineage. What he took from your community. That was what Moses did. When God empowered Moses and gave Moses the rod, Moses used that rod to collect 400 years of arrears. Emptied Egypt. All the years his forefathers served without payment. All the years they labored without reward. They plundered Egypt. He collected back and paid Pharaoh back with death sentence in the Red Sea. You need power. And it is pay time for some people in our nation. I've said that before. I will say it more aggressively tonight. It's pay time. It's pay time. There will be no hiding place for some people. Very soon, so-called big men will be looking for where to hide. They are looking for it already. Hallelujah. Power to take back. Somebody say, I take it back. Say, what the devil took from me, I must have it back. What the devil took from my family, I must have it back. What the devil has taken from my generation, I must have it back. I must have it back. Who took from us? Hey! Lift your hands, say, Father, I receive the power. I walk in the power to take back what the devil has taken from me. Many of us should have been billionaires, multi-billionaires, if not what the devil has been stealing and taking from you. But this season, he shall pay it back. There shall be restoration. The positions and the placement God has for you that the devil does not want you to occupy, in this season, it shall be recovered. In this season, it shall be recovered. It shall be restored. It shall be returned. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Take your seat very, very quickly before we pray. What is the way of power? If you look at the life of Moses, because of time. So we need power. Can you place it on the screen? Why is power necessary? If you look at Moses in Exodus 3, chapter 1, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, you see how Moses was passionate for God's presence. He went towards the burning bush, and that was where power met him. Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2, you saw David's passion to see thy power and thy glory. I have a passion. I'm longing for you. I'm thirsting for you. Passion for his presence is key to power. Number two is access to God's voice. When God speaks to you, he empowers your life. Whether speaking from the word or speaking with his voice. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Psalm 29 and in verse 4, I believe the Bible said, the word, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord is powerful.
What was it that made Moses to return back to meet Pharaoh? He heard the voice of God. What was it that empowered and emboldened Moses? He heard the voice of God. His voice from this book or his voice from the Spirit is a channel, is a transmitter of power. Anybody who has heard God can face any devil. I told you about our Jalingo crusade. In the middle of when it was almost impossible to go out for crusade. Anybody who hears God and has heard God from his word or from the Spirit is equal to any devil. The voice of God. Number three is dwelling in God's presence. When you stay where God stays, your life and your body is saturated with power. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. He stayed with God until his face began to shine. Moses' face shone as he spoke with the children of Israel. Power infused his body. Whatever you do to hang around God's presence, whether it is at a place of communion or at the place of worship, intimacy, the practice of his presence, whatever you do, it positions you for power. I think it was Exodus 34. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. Why? He stood with God. He stayed with God until his body was animated, embodied, vivified, and saturated with power. When he came out, he was a mobile fire, power, mobile fire walking. It's like the nail that is around the magnet dwelling in God's presence. Number four is waiting on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, they can't be weary. They shall walk, and they shall not faint. Start from verse 29. 28. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To those who lack power, he gives them power. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. The youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall be tired of their youth. But they that hang around, that stay with God, they renew their strength. They connect with power. They mount up wings. They cannot, and they run, and they cannot be weary. And they walk, and they cannot faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about passionate waiting on God, revelative waiting on God, desperate waiting on God. Waiting on God on purpose. Waiting on God knowing what you are doing. It is a secret of power. If you cannot stop a man from waiting on God and doing the things I've said, you will never cut him off from power. You can't cut him off from power. You cannot cut him off power. Stand up on your feet. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the praise. But all the things I have said, they work together. If waiting on the Lord is like the engine of the car, can you carry the engine on your head and walk? If only the engine of a car is working, is that car functional? Metallurgic system is not working. Hydraulic system and brake system is not working. Electrical system is not working. Batteries, alternators, and igniters and all of that are not working. Is the car moving? So they work in concert. They work in concert. There are people who want to kill themselves with fasting, but they have heard nothing from God. No relationship with the Bible. No hearing of any voice. It's like, let me fast until I die for God. They still remain very powerless. They walk in concert.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a new day. We're going to pray some brutal prayers right now. But very, very quickly, lift up your voice and say, Father, thank you. Louder, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Today. Thank you
for your word
to me today. I receive the grace to apply and employ this word in my life. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, go on ahead of your mother prayer. In Jesus' precious name, lift your hands and voice and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I pray,
I pray
for fresh passion,
fresh passion
for your presence,
fresh access
to your voice.
To your voice.
Help me, Lord,
help me, Lord,
to dwell in your presence.
Dwell in your presence.
Help me, Lord,
help me, Lord,
with the grace to wait on you.
Wait on
in the name of Jesus,
Jesus.
Passion for your presence.
For your presence.
Access to your voice.
To your voice.
Dwelling in your presence.
In your presence.
Waiting on you, Lord. I receive the grace in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, pray.